We're going to move through a little quicker this morning. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. But it is one of the most exciting for me. It's a psalm that regularly I take and read and meditate in. And there's so much in it. It just, every time I read it, it just thrills me. And I never cease to find something of very much value in it as I read it. Bonnie?
See, if you wouldn't be quiet for a second, because I got a butt in. But I feel very impressed to tell you that I didn't ask for prayer. But while y'all were laying hands on our two brothers, I was healed. I was sitting here not being able to breathe very good, choking. And when I raised up my hands to pray for them, I received healing.
Praise God.
I can breathe very well now.
Thank the Lord. Pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. Amen. In the 119th Psalm, the entire Psalm is a series of prayers and declarations concerning the Word of God. If you'll remember that Psalm 119 is all about God's Word, the whole Psalm, it will be so much more meaningful to you than ever before. Now, there are many English words that are translated here in the 119th Psalm that are synonyms for the Word of God. Now, you've heard me, many of you have heard me express this before, that this is true all through the Old Testament particularly. And specifically in the 119th, there are many words that if you will understand them to refer to the Word of God, this psalm will come alive to you. Now, if you're like me, before you understood this, it's reading a bunch of words. David is reported to be the author of this collection, and he refers to the law of God. He refers to the testimonies of God. He refers to the statutes of God. He refers to the commandments of God. He refers to the ways of God. He refers to the precepts of God. And as you read through this psalm in particular and other portions of the Psalms and the Old Testament, you see all those words: precepts, law, commandments, testimonies, judgments, ways, and so on. And unless you understand that all of those words individually refer to one subject, which is the Word of God, that passage will really not be terribly meaningful for you. And so as we're sharing this morning, I want you to remember that one central truth. Every time you see one of those words, you remember that that's a synonym describing the Word of God. And so when the psalmist talks about the law, he's talking about God's Word. When he talks about thy testimonies, he's talking about the Word of God. When he talks about thy statutes and judgments and precepts, he's talking about the Word of God. And we're going to see almost every verse is referring to some aspect about God's Word. Now, this is what I want to do this morning, by way of doing it a little differently today. I want to give you an opportunity today, rather than to you hear me preach and teach so frequently, that I'd like to hear you this morning. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to begin in verse number 1, which is an excellent beginning place. And I'm going to ask you to read the first verse to yourself. I want to do this quickly now so that we can get as far as we possibly can this morning. This is what I want you to do. I want somebody to stand up, read the verse, and tell us what it says. Now, I don't want you to look for any real deep theological meaning. I don't want anybody to preach a sermon. I don't want anybody to get all carried away with some wild-eyed thought that is contained deep down under that, because you'll find that these verses are very clear. They're very specific, and they will speak to you if you will let them do so. And what I want to do is I want to move verse 1. I want somebody just to stand to their feet and read that verse and tell us what it says. And then I want somebody right behind you to stand and read the second verse and tell us what that says. And the third and the fourth. And we're going to go through it that way. I pray that every one of you will participate. Some of these verses are so simple and so direct. Don't be looking for something that is not there and not real obvious. Let the Spirit of the Lord give you what that verse is about. and then be willing to stand to your feet, just read it, and then tell us what that verse says. Now watch for the real simple ones now, and get on those real quick, see, so somebody else doesn't grab a hold of them. And I don't want you reading too far ahead. You stay with us now, because this will be a learning experience for us. All right, who's got something on the first verse? Mary Ann, just stand to your feet.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Okay, it means that happy is the man who walks in a perfect way and who lives in the word of God.
Okay, and if we live in the law of the Lord, we will be undefiled and happy.
Right.
Amen. Very good. All right, verse 2. Somebody follow that good example. Okay, Jim.
Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. Telling me that if I seek God with my whole heart, I keep his testimony, that I know that my reward will be good, rich.
Happy will you be.
That's what I receive now. Is by obeying God with my heart.
Okay. All right. And seeking the Lord with all of your heart means doing what? How do you seek God with all your heart? No, what is it? His word and he are the same, aren't they? And so if you're truly a seeker after God, you're going to seek him in his word. You'll be you'll be hungry for his word, because that's where he'll be found. And as Jim says, that if we'll seek God with our whole heart in his word and then keep the word, seek him here, and then keep it, be a doer of the word, that our life will be rich and full and happy. That's what this word blessed means, blessed. All right, the third verse. Carolyn?
They also
do
knowing that
walk
is the way of God is the top student, so if you walk in his way,
okay, and how do you walk in his way? In his word, okay? By being a doer of the word, you can be free from sin. Hey? Is that good news? I think it's wonderful news. Hallelujah. They do know iniquity. They do know iniquity. They do know sin. Because they live according to the word of God. It's possible. All right? Verse number 4. Bruce?
Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently, which means that the Lord has commanded us to keep his word continually.
Okay. All right. Next one, Rob.
Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. I myself have been in a place where I have asked the Lord, don't give me any trouble, but just make me walk in the Lord. And I think that's what he's saying here. Oh, that I didn't have any choice, but
okay. That's a man with a heart that's really turned towards God. He's crying out of the depths of his heart, Lord, I want to walk in your word, and I don't want to do anything else. And it's, I remember the first time after I was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, when I read this 119th Psalm, and as I just started to read it, I would come across a verse like that one is a prayer. That's a request, a prayer. I would see that, and I'd just begin to cry. Just begin to weep. Oh, God, that's my prayer. Oh, Lord, that's what I want. And I can really understand David's heart here, can't you? All right, verse 6, somebody. All right, Jack?
Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And I feel like that's referring back to verse 5, keeping his word. That you shouldn't be ashamed, but you're going to grow and be strong.
Okay, all right. He's even a little deeper there is his description here. When you see this word ashamed, frequently it means in the Old Testament a relationship between a person and God. And what he's saying here, one of the things that he's saying is, I will not be ashamed in your presence when I keep your commandments, when I have respect to your commandments. There'll be no guilt on me. There'll be no condemnation on me. I won't be uncomfortable in the presence of God. I'll be able to go into his house with assurance. I'll be able to come to you in prayer because I had respect under your confidence, under your word to be no guilt or any condemnation in me. That's a thing that is that keeps a great many people bound and separated from God because they feel like they're not good enough. As he's saying, by keeping the word of God will keep me from that kind of a condition. All right? Next verse, verse 7. Gene?
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, and I shall have learned by righteous judgment. And tells me that just by learning through the word and being walking in his way, he'll know his judgment is right. And stand up and again, I'll be ashamed.
Okay. And give you confidence to praise him. The churches where the word of God is going forth are the churches where you'll have the strongest praise. Where the word of God is, there will be worship and rejoicing and praise. Because the preaching and the teaching and the receiving of God's word shows us who we are in Jesus Christ and that his word is right. And when we see that, it stirs in us a spirit of joy and praise and worship. Okay? That comes from receiving the word. All right, verse 8. Okay. That is so important that we make a decision and a commitment to keep the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, let me give you an example of something here before we go into this next little segment. I had someone just share with me this week, and it brought back to me something that that we haven't really talked about very much, but perhaps we should be more aware of. And that this particular family found themselves every Sunday night about 6 o'clock engaged in a discussion whether or not they are going to come to church or not. It seemed to be an every Sunday night affair. And perhaps you have this same situation in your family that, are we going to go or aren't we going to go? And all of these reasons why we should and these reasons why we shouldn't and all of this vacillation back and forth. And the wife was telling me that they had just made a decision that Sunday night, where the place they ought to be was in God's house, worshiping and praising the Lord and studying God's word. And it eliminated all of that vacillation. It eliminated all of those discussions. It eliminated all of that rationalization. Once they made a decision that at 6 o'clock every Sunday night, it became not a matter of, are we going to church? But let's get the kids ready and let's get prepared to go. Once they made the decision or the commitment to do that particular thing, the making of the decision was the most important part. The decision having been made, then there was no discussion about whether or. The discussion was, let's go. Let's get ready to go. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. I make a decision to keep the word of God. I make a quality decision, Kenneth Copeland calls it. I make a decision to always be a doer of the word of God. That if I know what God's word says about a matter, I will do it. That is one of the most important decisions that any person can ever make. Having made that commitment, you see, then all of the little decisions just fall into line. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right, verse number 9. All right, Bonnie.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So if a man or a woman wants to cleanse his life, all he's got to do is to read the word and to follow it.
Okay, very good. Verse 10. All right, Pat.
With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. It means he's committed his life to
okay, very similar to the one that Ron read, a prayer, whatever you have to do, Lord, hold on to me and just don't let me go. Okay, next one. All right, Robert.
A word that I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That says two things to me. One thing, Jesus is the word. If you put Jesus in your heart, you won't sin against God. Even if you do, we have a covenant with God, and if we just ask forgiveness for our sins, we'll forgive us. And also out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and if we'll have the word in our heart, then that's what comes.
Okay. Instead of sin, will come out life. Right. Amen. Okay. See, the Bible does teach, doesn't it, that we ought not to be looking for sin every day in our life. The Bible does teach that we can live above sin, doesn't it? The Bible does teach that we can get progressively more like Jesus Christ. That we don't have to anticipate a life that is full of sin. That the more of God's word that we hide in our heart, the less we will sin. Does it teach that or does it?
Yeah.
It sure does. And so let us not be all, oh, poor miserable us, we just have to sin, and I'm just have to do it. You don't have to do it. The more word we get in us, the less that we will. You see, that's the devil's way of keeping us down. That's his way of keeping us in bondage. And that's his way of keeping us on our knees, crying repentance before God. And that's exactly why most Christians don't have a spirit of praise, because they're under such condemnation for their sin. And they don't realize that you can live above that. That Jesus Christ has bought us a place which is above. He did, and he's our example. All right, next verse, number 12. Lois?
Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. He's giving praise unto the Lord, and saying that the Lord is happy, and also he's asking you to teach him, if he's teaching the word, and you're telling the word, you're happy, and you're blessed.
Okay, that's his prayer, teach me. All right, verse 13. That's a good one.
With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. He doesn't fail to speak forth with his mouth the things that the Lord has declared unto him. For still he's meditated on in his heart, and if the Lord's heart is moved, and then he declares to
his mouth. His mouth is filled then with the word of God. Amen. Okay?
I love that.
With my lips. All right, verse 14.
I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. In other words, he is rejoicing as much in God's word as he is in things that God has blessed him for. But God's word is so important to him that that's all the riches that he needs to rejoice in, that as well as he does.
Amen. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? It's like, we would say like this, my heart is thrilled with the word of God, more so than worldly riches. Just the knowledge of the word of God just thrills my heart. Okay? Verse 15. Okay, Deborah?
I will meditate not to set and have respect to thy ways. He said, I will study thy law or the word and have respect and meekness to reverence or honor, even though you may not understand.
Uh-huh. Okay, very good. Verse number 16. Okay, Carol.
I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word. He's saying that he's going to find his joy in the word of God and he's making a pledge on it.
You know, that's a good confession too right there. I will not forget thy word. How many times have you heard people say, I just can't remember the word of the Lord. I can't memorize God's word. I can't remember it. I read it and it never comes back to me. How many times have you heard that confessed? And some of you have confessed it yourself. It's a bad confession. David said, I'll not forget the word of the Lord. He put a good confession in his mouth. That once I've hid it in my heart, I'm not going to forget it. I just won't. I refuse to. All right? I'm beginning to study myself happy this morning. Just to share this. Does it affect you the same way? As I begin to read the word, just to read the word, something just rises up on the inside of it. Just begin to get thrilled. All right, verse number 17. Now, if you've already chosen a verse, that's all right. You can go ahead and do another one. But I'd like for everybody to participate if you're willing to. 17? Okay, all right. His purpose is he wants to serve God and glorify God by keeping the word, but he's not bashful about asking the Lord, treat me good, deal bountifully.
That's
with
not
me.
Self-seeking.
Uh-uh. Not self-seeking. He wants God's blessing upon his life so that he might live to glorify God. Okay, Mike, next one.
Open thou mine eyes that I may behold and understand. That's my all I want to do is go to pick it up and get the totality. That's a prayer of mine.
Mm-hmm.
do.
You just did revelation.
Open my eyes that I may see. Hallelujah. You see, people read this word and never get anything out of it. They get started in it and just read a little bit, but they're not open to the Holy Spirit to give the revelation. And it's dull, it's boring, and it just there's no life in it. The revelation has to come by the Spirit of God. And that's the psalmist's prayer. Lord, by your Spirit, open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things that are in your word. What a prayer. All right? Verse 19. All right, Robert?
I am a stranger in the earth. I have not my commandments for me. Jesus said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're alien beings. Heaven's our home. And he says, hide not thy commandments for me, because that's our line of communication from here to there.
Okay. All right. Amen. All right, verse 20.
My soul,
at your feet, if you want.
My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times. In other words, his heart is just crying out for the Lord's judgment and for his word at all times.
What, you know, thinking about a man like that, how do you suppose God would respond to such a person? Woo! I mean, just open the windows of heaven and pour it out. We know how God responded to David. David received a covenant promise from God that there would never cease to be a man upon the throne of David, and of the son of David, that his government, of his government, there would be no end. And we know who is that man. Jesus Christ, the descendant of David, the son of David. He came in the lineage and of the line of David. And this man David, we're told, has a heart that is after God's own heart. And what we're seeing here this morning is an aspect of his heart. That his heart would be just like a breaking, a longing in his heart. I want to know you, God. I want to know your word, because that's how I'll come to know you. And there's this deep longing in me, like a hunger, that I hunger after the knowledge of God. All right? Next verse. All right, go on.
Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do fail from thy commandments. That says to me that the Lord has cursed and has turned aside from those that are too proud, that look to themselves that don't look to the Lord for what they need, but they I do it all myself, and I don't have to have any help from him.
That's exactly what it is. There's a downside risk when you reject the word of God. When you reject God's word, you come not under his blessing, but you come under the curse. Okay?
Did not Satan also come under this curse for his pride, because he looked at his simple, and also reproved him?
Yes, perhaps. Okay. Or anybody that commits that same sin. Yeah. Okay? Next one, verse 22. Okay, all right. I've kept your word, therefore that puts me in a place where I am to be a recipient of your blessing. And this is putting God in remembrance of his promises and reminding the Lord, look, I've done what you said, and I expect you to bless me and not let me be reproached. Okay. Now that's boldness. That's bold praying. That's bold declaration. It's like, look, God, you made a promise, and I kept my end of it, and I expect you to keep your end. Okay? Next verse, 23. Okay, Don.
Prince, which also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in my statutes. And it doesn't matter what people are saying about you or what they're doing, but I'm going to meditate in your word, and that's what I'm going to do.
Amen. I'm not moved by anything, no matter how important they are. Your word is the most important thing to me. Okay? Verse number 24.
Thy testimonies are of mine, delight in my countenance. Sometimes when people come to you for prayer, you can counsel with them and also give them a testimony. And to
to me that is very wonderful because the testimony that you give is helping my people.
Okay, all right. Okay, let's go to verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, stand your feet if you will.
My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. This one we're feeling longer than a snake belly. We cry to the Lord and say, Father, with the same spirit that quickened Jesus this morning, by quicken our body.
Okay. What does the word quicken mean?
Make alive.
Make alive. All right. Where does life come from?
Right.
According to this verse,
word.
Life comes from the word because this word is alive. And as Steve says, when you're alone, when your soul is cleaving to the dust, he says, God, this is a cry out of a desperate situation. Lord, I'm in misery. Give me a life according to your word. So where would you go to? If you were lower than a snake's belly, looking for life, where would you go?
Word.
To the Word. You go, you open the Word. You begin to walk through this Word. And God will enliven you according to. Okay? Verse 20. Hallelujah. Verse 27.
I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. This says that I've tried my ways, and they're not good enough. So he's proclaiming. He wants to know more about the word.
Okay. Teach me your word. Okay. Verse 27, Bonnie.
I'm like Mike. This is one of my prayers, too. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me.
No, 27.
Make me to understand the ways of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. If I can understand his law, if I can read it and understand it, then I could then I can go out to anybody and be able to teach them and make them understand.
Okay, so first the understanding has to come from him.
Right.
Okay? Once that revelation comes from him, then we have the wherewithal to minister to someone else, to help someone. Do you notice that? I want you to notice here where David expects to get his understanding from. From the Lord, see? He says, make me to understand. You, God, Father, make me to understand thy word. I'm looking to you. I'm not looking to any earthly source to understand God's ways. I'm looking directly to you. Now, it's important for us to understand that God has established within the body of Christ apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. He has positioned in his earthly body men and women with the ministry of teaching and proclaiming and making the way of God and the word of God clear. But they are aids. God has put his Holy Spirit in every believer. Then we are to hear from God. We, every one of us, ought to be able to pick up this book. Pray a prayer like that. Make me to understand your wondrous ways. And expect the Holy Spirit that lives within to give revelation. Now that doesn't mean that we ought not to be attentive to the preaching of the word or the teaching of the word. But we ought not to be totally dependent upon it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Very important. We look to God for our understanding and for our revelation. And once we have that, then we can speak to others concerning his works. Ron, you want to take the next verse? Verse 28.
My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. I think Corey Tenzone put that very well in the movie we saw. She said, there's no pit deep enough that Jesus is not deeper still. And our joy is in the word, and our joy and strength comes from that. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and in this word is strength.
I think the most tormenting thing that a person could do as a Christian is take the word away. Take the word away. That's what the devil loves to do. That's what he did during the Dark Ages. That he stole the word from the church. That's what he loved to do today. He'd try to do the same thing. He'd try to steal the word out of your home. He'd try to steal the word out of, we see him trying to steal the word out of traditional churches. People are preaching that which is not the word, preaching men's ideas. It's a stealing of the word. All right, next verse, 29. remove
from me the way of life and grant me thy law graciously. He's just praying to take the things of the world away and teach me your ways because they're true.
Okay, and anything other than the word of God is a
lie.
Lie. Okay, so stop me from speaking that which is contrary to your word. Because if it's opposite the word, it's a lie. So stop me from lying and grant me your law. All right, verse 30. First three words here are so important. Verse 30. Somebody take that. Okay.
I have chosen to face the way. I have placed an ordinance before me. He's made the decision and he's decided I'm going to follow you. I have chosen this way and I have set these things before me in order that I might follow.
All right. He made the decision. God didn't force him to make this decision. But he decided, he made a choice. Way back in Deuteronomy, the 28th, 9th, 30th, and 31st chapter, Moses told the people of Israel, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, today I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you may live, ye and your children. Remember that? All through the Word of God, that the instruction is given and the challenge is given, choose life. And David's saying here, freely I have made a choice and I have chosen the way of truth. I chose to do the Word of God. I can tell you from my own personal experience that the most important decision I ever made was to take Jesus Christ as my Savior and the Lord of my life. But I never would have made that decision had I not made another one previously. And the decision that I made previously was this one. I choose to believe what God said, whether it makes any sense or not. I choose, if it's in this book, to believe it, whether or not I understand it. I believe it. And once I made that choice, it revolutionized my life, and it enabled me to come to a place where I could believe the things that the book says about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about healing, about the devil, about everything else. And so this matter of making a choice to choose to believe the Word of God is so very important in people's lives. Whether they be saved or not saved. If they're not saved, they'll be saved. It's a terribly important decision to choose to believe this book, whether or not you understand it. And apart from my salvation, that is the most important decision that I've ever made in my life. Verse number 31. Pauline.
I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. Means I'm standing on your word and you're standing on me.
That's exactly what it means. Okay. Next verse. 32. This interesting concept here.
I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt reward my heart. I think he's asking, help me to want to know and to do your will. Help me to want to do it. To understand it enough to want it, because sometimes God's will is not to do it.
Okay, all right. Anybody else want to add to that, Mike?
Yeah, this is almost one of those reciprocal type arrangements that you have with the Lord so often. You know, he says, I have, and he says, when. And I have run when you're not in the heart. It's a back and forth kind of thing. And as you run with the word, and as the word goes forth, and as you walk with it, and as you speak his word so forth, your heart, or your inner man, and your spirit man, continues to grow and get larger and larger. As it grows, you run more. As you run more, it grows more. It's kind of, it's a continuous cycle kind of thing.
Okay, like a cooperative effort. Yeah, I hear him saying here, I want to do everything according to your word, but I don't sense the capacity within me to do it. I long to do it. I hunger to do it. My soul breaks for it. But I know that you're going to have to do something in me in order for me to have that capacity. And so enlarge my heart. Did you ever consider the fact that your heart could be stretched? That God can enlarge your heart. That where you are right now with the Lord doesn't mean that that's where you have to stay. that day by day, as we receive the Word of God into us, God will stretch your heart. He will enlarge your heart. You remember the passage of Scripture out of the New Testament about new wine and what kind of wineskins it has to go in? What kind? No. It has to go in a new wineskin. Because old wineskins are like what? What are old wineskins like?
They're hard
and they're brittle and they won't stretch. And you can, they're like a glass bottle. And you can only get so much wine in them, you can't fill them any fuller. Now a new wineskin is pliable, and you can put more in, and as it'll expand, and you just put more in, and it expands, you put more in, it expands, you put more in, and it expands. And David is saying here, I recognize my capacity to not be as large as I want it to be. And so, Lord, this is kind of a prayer. Lord, open my heart. Enlarge my heart. Make it bigger that I can contain more of your word, that I can receive more of your truth. And then I'll be able to live my life in accordance with the principles that you've revealed in your word. Is that thrill you to know that he can and will make your heart bigger? We talk about having a fat heart or having a fat spirit. We're supposed to have I'm going to use the word thin, but that's not necessarily a properly proportioned body, but we're supposed to have a fat spirit.
I'm just going to say that in the physical, this is the problem that relaxes, it's been running, you don't thaw out, it's running, you thaw out longer, and as your heart, as you do that, the muscles, if the heart muscle does run, but you can't just thaw out running, you have to thaw out longer.
And then you can run. Amen. Okay. I think maybe that's a good place for us to stop right there. Verse 32. I'm surprised we got this far this morning. Let me show you one verse before you close your Bible. All right. And would you, this week, read the rest of this 119th Psalm, and this is what I want you to read, just the way we did today. I want you to read one verse, and then I want you to stop. I want you to think. What does that verse mean? And let the Spirit of the Lord reveal that. Sometimes we pick the Bible up and say, well, I'm going to read a little Bible. And we pick it up and we just start reading. And we just go right through it. We're just reading words. And it doesn't really, we don't really get the food that the Lord wants us to have. It's kind of like eating your dinner with a steam shovel. You just want this, you know. And it just goes in and down. And somebody, enjoy your meal. Well, I have a full belly. But you didn't taste anything because it just always swooped this right down. And God's word the same way. That we need to learn how to take this word a little bit at a time, chew on it and work it over and really taste it. Okay? One verse I want you to see, and this is so important, it bears on what we were talking about earlier. It's verse 128. I love this verse. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts, which is all his what? Word, concerning all things to be right most of the time. All the time. Always right. I esteem all thy word concerning all things to be right. Now, if you want to emulate a man like David, emulate that attitude. Make a decision. Make a decision. If you have never made this decision, make it today. Make it right now. I decide to esteem the Word of God concerning everything, concerning creation, concerning Israel, concerning the future, concerning Jesus, concerning healing, concerning the devil, concerning tongues, concerning miracles. I perceive and esteem and decide that all of God's word concerning everything is always right. If you've never made that decision, would you make it today? That everything God said is right. I tell you, it'll revolutionize your life. Not just your spiritual life, your entire life. It'll make such a difference in your life. And I know some people who come to Christ, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but still have trouble believing the Word. have trouble receiving what God said. And the reason is because they have never made this basic decision. And they're reasoning everything, trying to figure everything, everything makes sense. And they're always in confusion and never have any power in their Christian life. And this is the key right here, to make a decision concerning the Word of God.